The Word of God is sure. It is powerful. Bible said it's more necessary to us than our necessary food. We are to strive to receive and to take in the Word. And the Word feeds the inner man and he becomes strong. We can stand on the Word in the midst of the battle, the storm, the trial. The Word is there and it's sure. Lord, in Jesus' name, we need you to come visit us today. We need a visitation of your Spirit. God, that you might come and you might touch us. And that by your Spirit, we might receive. That the Word might be quickened in us. And that we would not only receive the quickened, and Lord, as we receive the Logos form of the Word, but Lord, also we might receive the Rhema, quickened Word by the Spirit. God, that you might put our Word in our heart, in our spirit, that we can climb the next hill, we can climb the next mountain, we can overcome in every situation, in every battle. God, grant it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God speaks to his people. He speaks in Logos form. That's the word, verse and chapter. I hear so many preachers use the statement today, God's Word said this, but this is what it meant. I can't comprehend that kind of thinking. You know, if God said it, then that's what it meant. We can't change it around to fit what we want it to be or what we think it should be. We've got to stand on the promise of the Word and take the Word as God has so given the Word, and we got to rightly divide it. And if we act, I'm convinced if we act on the Logos written Word, then we become candidates to receive the quickened Word. Now, understand the difference between the Logos Word. The Bible said Peter walked on the water. That's Logos understanding. Now, you say, well, you know, I'm going to take the Word for what it says. I'm going to walk on the water. You say, why won't it work for me? First of all, it was given as a direct command unto Peter. And that word that was given to Peter, you know, he said, you know, Lord, if you bid me to come, I'll come. He simply said, come. He was able to walk on the water because he had a quickened word from God. If you will not live by the Logos word, if you will not live by verse and chapter, you most likely are not going to get too many quickened words in your life. I can look back down through the years of serving God. I started May the 14th, 1959. The highlight things that I've ever accomplished, I accomplished them through a command quickened word that I got from God. I had to abide in the Logos Word. I had to read the Word and study it. I had to know what the Word said. I had to know that there's no weapon formed against me that was going to prosper. I had to know that God was greater than anything else. I had to know that in His name I could do all things. I had to know the verse and the chapter. I had to practice the Logos understanding of the Word. I had to live by the book, by the Word. I'm not looking for no shortcuts. One of the big things that's wrong with creation today and wrong with the church, they're looking for a shortcut. They want some kind of instant way. I've heard people say, well, you know, I've jumped through a lot of things because I've become good friends with the pastor. Coming good friends with the pastor is going to send a lot of people to hell. I'm sorry, that's plain. But becoming good friends with the pastor is going to send a lot of folks to that awful place called hell. Because there's no skipping the book. No, God in the last day says he's going to do a fast work. I believe that people that's going to get saved, get on fire for God, they're going to literally be poured themselves into the Word of God, and God's going to pour the Word into them, and I believe those people are going to rise up and go forth overnight. Why? Because a lot of the ones that's called are too sorry to go. A lot of the ones that have been called have become too liberal for God to use. And God is going to have somebody that goes to the front line. Most of the national, international, national preachers that preach today is going to fall to the wayside in the next couple years. Their money is going to consume them. The government of America is already looking at most of the big ministries and already figured out their corruption and just waiting to lower the boom on them. And the devil's going to use that to say to the rest of the world, look at that, they ain't nothing to it. That's the reason it disgusts me so bad when I see a guy that claims to be Pentecostal and gets up and pulls off a bunch of garbage for a filthy dollar's sake. It really vexes my spirit because the devil uses that to say to somebody that's trying to do right, the devil says, look at that, you know that, you know that's phony. You know that's not real. But if we abide in his word, and we'll let his word abide in us, and we become a walking Bible to people, that they can see that there's something different about us. They can see that there's a commitment. And I'll touch on that a little bit today, because most folks this day and time are looking for a church that has no commitment. I'm telling you something, if you've got an experience with God and there's no dedication in it, there's no sacrifice in it, and there's no commitment in it, you didn't get saved. Amen. I'm sorry. Because the word that I read, the book that I read out of, the message that I have seen from Genesis to Revelation, those that live godly are going to suffer persecutions. Didn't the book say that? Amen. I didn't get that out of the comic book. I didn't get that out of the newspaper. That come out of the Word of God. If you live righteous and godly before God, you're going to suffer persecution. You are going to be persecuted for his namesake. And we got all these Johnny-come-lately preachers that's preaching that this thing is just a life of grammar. You know? We got the laughing stock preachers that makes everybody laugh while they're emptying their checkbooks in their pockets. Amen. I know an old boy that sucked hundreds of millions out of his people that listen to him while he's making them laugh. He's getting their bank account numbers. He's getting their credit cards. And he's sucking their accounts dry. And he lives like a king and is a mockery to everything God stands for. And he can't say five words that line up with the Word of God. A man come to see me that give him something close to $100,000, I think. And he told me, he said, this is the greatest preacher I ever seen. And he said a diss there, and he said, well, look at this. I didn't go 3 minutes into him until I told the brother verse and chapter. That man is a fraud and a phony. What he said by the word is a lie, and he hooked you in, reeled you in, and got your money. And he didn't give nothing back to the man, and he didn't do nothing for the man. These guys are specialists on raping people of their money. They literally are specialists. The devil has got them so trained. And we've got a thing that's come on that on television that need. The Bible said, mark those that cause division among you. And we need to mark them. There's a thing, there's an inspirational network right now. And they are running one gimmick right behind another gimmick for money. The whole thing is turned in to money. And they've got preacher after preacher after preacher that's coming up there and saying that God's told them to tell you that if you'll give this amount, here's what you're going to get. And they all cry the same lie, and they all going for the same hell. And that's where TV evangelism is stooped to in the hour we're living in right now. It has got till it is almost ungodly to turn the TV on to an inspirational network, because you're going to hear so much garbage. Oh, they'll pinch a little bit of word in. If the devil come to preach today, if we'd have booked the devil here to preach today, he would have quoted just a little scripture. He said, I'm going to read from the book of Matthew today, and here's the scripture I have for my text. He's going to only do that to entice us, you know. But this is an hour that we need to know where we stand. This is an hour that we need to know what the Word of God says. And, you know, the Bible tells us to search the Scriptures, you know, and those that we think we have eternal life, we're to search the Scriptures to know. We need a witness of the Spirit. If you've got a witness of the Spirit in you, amen, then you know that God is moving and you know where you're at with God. I'm not in a hope-so salvation. Was the old-time hard-shell primitive Baptist used to say, well, hope we make it. We got that blessed hope. They sing them songs about hope. Bible said if you only had hope of all men, you'd be most miserable. Hope. Live the life the best you can, and down at the end, you hope you make it. I'm sorry. It just don't work that way. Amen. When he saved me by his grace. He written my name in the book of life. He allowed me to know that I was a part of the kingdom of God and was a child of God. And he come to me by his Spirit. And the Bible said, lest you have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Thank God for the Spirit of Christ that bears witness. And then we've went on a step further. And I was talking to some folks last night and was talking about how a lot of churches, they no longer teach anything about sanctification. They no longer get into it. And I know entire organizations that don't even teach that in their any of their teachings or their doctrines. Why? Because they're liberal. And if you're liberal, you can get folks. And if you're liberal enough, you can get their money. They'll pile it at your feet. I know a lady, and I guess she's went on to be with the Lord, but a lady in Galax told me one time a certain preacher used to come to town, and her husband stepped out on her. He laid with other women. She talked to me several times about it. And she said, when this one preacher comes to town, he said, my husband won't go to church. He won't go anywhere to do anything with church or any kind of religious meeting. But when this one guy comes to town, he goes. He puts his suit on and he goes. And said, the preacher will say, I'm going to give 100 tonight, and everybody will give 100. I want you to stand up. And she said, my whoremongering husband is the first man to stand up to give the 100. Said he'll do it every night. And said that evangelist pats him on the back, comes back and hugs him and tells people what a man of God he is and what a work he's doing in the community. And said everybody knows he's a whoremonger. But said he really builds that guy up for a whole week. I said, yeah, for probably close to $1,000, you know, you can do a lot of building. I said, what? She said, why does he respond? What is that one preacher? Why does he go? I said, because that preacher says what the man wants to hear. He justifies him in his sins. He feeds his ego. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, I will do anything I got to do to get you to do what I want you to do when I want you to do it. He said, I will tell you anything you want to hear to get you to do what I need. If I'm raising $1,000 and I need a big check out of you, he said, I will tell you anything I've got to tell you for you to get your pen out and start writing that check. In hell, that preacher will lift up his eyes someday. Because he's preaching for filthy lucre's sake. And there's coming an hour, and I think it is right now, that we better take a hold of the hand of Jesus Christ. We better get in his word and get established in his word. And I don't believe in preaching religion anyway. I always said if you got the coattail religion of the preacher, and if he throws his coat down, you're in trouble, ain't you? Amen. Yes, listen to men of God that's anointed. Listen to those that preach to you that bear out the word, that present the word to you, and there's a confirmation of your spirit in that word. Yes, respect that. But you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not just with the church, not just with the preacher. It's good to be a member of a church. It's good to have a good pastor that preach to you. But your relationship has got to be founded on knowing Jesus Christ as a Savior, as a Redeemer. You have to have a relationship with Him outside the four walls of the church. At the most, if you sent three services a week and spent 2 hours at each service, that's 6 hours. Very few people spend that much time in church. But if you was to spend 6 hours a week in church, and that's all the time you had with God, and you didn't feel your thoughts. See, we have to feel our thoughts. We have to think upon these things. If there be any virtue, the Word tells us, we have to dwell on the things of God. We got to be mindful of the things of God. And if all that we give time to God is just the few hours or moments we spend in the sanctuary to hear the preaching or to hear the singing, we're not going to have much of a relationship with Him. When I get up in the morning, I'm talking to Him. Seems like as I get older, I have to make more bathroom trips during the night. I talk to Him as I'm going back and forth through the house of a night. I carry a continuous conversation with Him. And I don't have to jump into some ritual for 10 minutes before I have a conversation with Him. He's right there when I made the last statement and He spoke to me, amen. If an hour or whatever goes by, the next thought I've got towards Him or the next statement I've got towards Him, He is right there. He is right there. I don't have to remind Him. Sometimes we do, but we don't have to. You know. Sometimes we say, Lord, now You sent me over here to do this. This battle's been long for, it's been a hard time. You know, how long this thing gonna last? Amen. He don't have to be reminded, but sometimes we do, and we have to do that for our part. Amen. You know, I told Him about something He told me 2 years ago. I said, Lord, this has been 2 years. What's going on here? You know, how long you want me to put up with this situation or that situation? He sent me right back to where He spoke to me 2 years prior, and He said, here's your answer. Amen. I'm glad I got a quickened word from God. Because those quickened words from God gives us the boldness when the devil comes rushing in like a flood. God's Holy Ghost comes raising up a standard. When the enemy comes at us from every direction and we've got a quickened word from God, we can say, wait a minute, devil. Here's what thus said the Spirit of God. And if that backs by the word, we can just go right on. Amen. I'm going to climb this mountain. Amen. We used to play a little game when we was kids called King of the Mountain, you know, and find a little knoll somewhere, and one person got up there, and they could stay on King of the Mountain long as somebody else didn't come and drag them off. Well, before long, somebody would come blowing in from the side, and they'd take you down off a little hill, and they'd jump up, and they'd say, I'm King of the Mountain. Well, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, gives you the ability to be the king of the mountains that you face in your life. Amen. It gives you the ability to overcome. It gives you the authority to put Satan underfoot. I said it last night in the service. Only problem we ought to have with the devil is, you know, every once in a while we maybe have to change position of our foot. You know, our ankle's getting a little tired. We just can't change. You know, you ever seen anybody spin out a cigarette? They throw a cigarette down and they take their end of their shoe and grind it in the pavement. Every time I see one of them cigarettes ground out, I think about old Satan. Amen. He's about worth less than a cigarette butt. Amen. You know how you grind an old cigarette butt out, right? Just grind it right down the pavement. Well, that's the way we need to treat old Satan. We need to just grind him down in the pavement, because he's accuser of brethren both day and night. He's already been on your back today. Amen. My. He works 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can get the best blessing in the world. The devil will be waiting at the edge of the step as you go to your car, and he'll say, "Who do you think you are?" Yeah. "Well, that wasn't real. That was the flesh." I said, "Goody, devil. I'm an old-time Pentecostal, and I hear that statement so much it kind of makes me sick when I hear it. People say, 'Watch out, don't you get in the flesh.'" Well, I got news for the devil. I was born in the flesh. I'm going to remain in the flesh until Jesus calls for me. So I'm going to go ahead and glorify my Redeemer in the flesh. But I know what the old-time Pentecostals meant. They meant don't do it of yourself. You know, I'll give you a good example. You know, was it Abraham and it was Hagar? And Abraham. How is it the story? Let me refresh myself. The story of how that Ishmael came into existence is because Abraham's wife and Abraham, they talked it up amongst themselves. She's old, she can't have a baby, so she's going to take her maiden or going to send Abraham in to her. And she became a child and had Ishmael. Amen. I'm glad to report that all the seed of the righteous ain't coming through Ishmael. I'm sorry, Obama. He can be his Muslim if he wants to, but the seed, the blessing ain't on Obama's seed. The blessing ain't on the Muslim seed. And I said all this to say this. The fact of Ishmael being born was a fleshly thing. There was nothing divinely about it. I've heard people say, "Why does God let young girls get pregnant to get out here in their ignorance and get with a man?" And why does it? I said, it's already been set in motion. There's some things if you do, it's going to result in something else. You jump off the side of the building, most likely you go hit the ground. Young girls get out and go to doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They do it, they're most likely going to come up with a child. God didn't have nothing to do with that. That was the actions of the flesh. God didn't have a thing in the world to do with Ishmael coming into being. And look what we got, and look at the Holy War. Look what's going on. They say they're going to withdraw out of Afghanistan. Bull. They're going to fight and scrap over there until the thing winds up. That Hussein said it. This is the mother of all wars. When the United States went over there to get Hussein, they started a war that will never end for America. It will be our destruction. Why? Part of it is because of the ignorance of our leadership. They have left God out. They have left Christ out. They've left everything holy and sacred and righteous out. Now we have the seed of Ishmael, which is the Muslims, and all those over in those countries we're fighting, and they hate us and they hate our God. We are the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all the promises of God is promised to the seed that came by the will of God. See, Abraham, as Isaac came into existence, was by the will of God. 90-some-year-old women don't have babies. That's a fact. That's a God-given fact. They don't have babies. But by the will of God, God has spoken it by his quickened word that all that Abraham and Sarah had to do was just abiding his word. Amen. we let age a lot of time really, you know, boy, you better get out and do it quick while you got youth. You know, most of all the supernatural things ever done by any man, he was old and gray and feeble before he ever done it. The greatest evangelist that's ever lived in this world, a lot of them was in their 60s, 70s, and 80s before they accomplished what Moses been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. God brought him out. Biggest part of the Old Testament based on what happened around Moses. I'm going to tell you something. Don't let the wrinkles in your face discourage you on the quickened word of God. Don't let the number of years that roll up on your birthdays hold you back from knowing that God will fulfill in you what he has started. He that has begun a good work in you will finish it. Amen. The devil wires on you. Well, you're not going to get around to doing what you're supposed to do. Well, devil, I'm supposed to kick you out of the way, and I'm doing that every day of the week. And in the morning, I'll kick you again, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And my hair may turn gray. And yes, we age because that's the way mankind goes. But God will keep his word, and God will perform. You know, like little things like Sandy, when she was a young girl, she was prophesied to that she would join a ministry that would be a worldwide ministry. Her people disowned her when she joined up with our ministry back in 1982 and 83. More or less just about disowned her because we were supposed to be, you know, we didn't fit the mold with the Methodist Church. You know, we still don't. We probably won't next week or next month. We just don't. I'm sorry, you know. And good, a lot of good folks there, but we just don't fit their mold. And there was no evidence of anything. But by the quickened word that was given to her as a little girl, today she is a part of a ministry that spans to almost every country in the world. Bible colleges and churches and, you know, God keeps his word. Keeps his word. We get nervous sometimes. You know. But we've got to learn to be confident in what God has said. We've got to realize that the word said in closing, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't let the battle get you down. Don't let the trials of life get you down. Don't let anything stop you from accomplishing what God has put before you to do. Don't let anything turn you around. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time. We've had to come before the throne of grace, present your word, and preach your word. God, I ask you, Lord, now to touch those that are sick and afflicted, let them be healed. Those that need a miracle, let them receive it. Those that need financial blessings, let them come in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you, God, to save the backslider, save the sinner. God, renew the right spirit in those that are wayward. God, give us victory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.